Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. This business talk show airs live on Tuesday and Wednesdays at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, we would encourage you to consider listening to the show live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively here on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better business decisions. If you'd like to join in on the conversation today and you are listening live, then find the community chat room area of octalkradio.net's website. Log on, post your thoughts and questions. Our capable producer, Paul, will bring some of them to my attention, and possibly I'll be able to work them into the interview today with my featured guest, Lisa Stedman. And so let me just say, it's a pleasure to have you here on Critical Mass, the radio show, and welcome to the program, Lisa.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Let's jump right into the interview by asking you the first question, which is very simple. Talk to our audience about your professional path that's brought you to where you are today.
Yes. Thank you for asking this question. You know, I love sharing this story because I think it's important for everybody, especially at a time when corporations and companies are changing. It's important to understand that when you have a career setback, that can actually be something that can inform your future and make it better rather than something that can weigh you down, break you, or make you feel like a failure. So when I say that then leads into my story, which is, I worked for an amazing company. I worked at Mattel for about 5 years, and I wrote about Barbie every day, which was this girl's dream, until it became what I would call a nightmare. And it became a nightmare because my job description changed. I was going through an office romance turned wrong, so I was seeing somebody at work that I had been in love with, and it just wasn't working. So I had done a great job of building this $9 million business for Mattel, and I knew I had the skills and abilities to build a community, to create a buzzworthy brand, and to really enroll people in a new brand for a company, and I realized I wanted to go out and do that on my own. So I quit my corporate job. I moved out of my fancy condo. I really reinvented my life. And in the process, I created a buzzworthy brand of my own and a business first around my dating and relationship books. And then more specifically, I went back to doing the branding work that I had done in corporate, which is what I now do for my clients at my company, Woohoo, Inc.
So how long ago was that?
I left corporate America in 2004. So I think it's 7 years now.
Okay, so you left before the current slowdown, so you had a little bit of time to sort of get your business legs under you. But tell us, what were those early days like of being an entrepreneur, having left a big, seemingly stable organization such as Mattel?
It was scary, and this is something that not a lot of people I find are willing to talk about. It was scary. I knew how to do certain pieces of my business, but there were other pieces that I had no idea about, specifically how to run a business on a budget that had never occurred to me, and how to take consistent action. So I had to learn very quickly how to be really consistent in my business. But I will tell you, when I first started, I made a lot of mistakes, and I was very clear I wanted to write a book, so I got a book deal, and I spent a lot of money on my first book, and it became a bestseller, and I didn't realize at the time, and so for any of your listeners who want to be authors or are authors, a book is a great business card. It's not the best business model. So I was a broke bestseller, and I learned along the way how to turn my book into a great business card and build a six-figure business around that.
Wow. I look for learning moments here on Critical Mass, and right out of the gate in the first 5 minutes, you've already thrown down one, Lisa. What do you mean it's a good business card, but maybe not a good business model?
Yes.
Writing a book.
So I really thought, when I first dreamed up my first book idea, and again, I was going through a very painful breakup with someone I worked with, so that was what was forefront in my mind. And when I envisioned this breakup brand, which is what I thought about at the time, I envisioned it was this empire that had a product line and books and a radio show. And at that time, I did some podcasting even before there was podcasting. And so I was putting all these pieces in place, but I had no clear idea about how to monetize it. I had some ideas, but at the end of the day, what really I was leading with was my book, and I thought, I'm going to sell 1 million copies, I'm going to be a millionaire, and I can sit back and retire and eat bonbons. And what I realized along the way was, even though I've sold 30,000 copies of that first book, and that's doing really well, most first-time authors only sell... Most first-time authors, here's the startling statistic, only 5% of first-time authors sell more than 5,000 copies of their books. So I definitely broke those rules and am in the 5% that's been really successful, but still, that's not a great business model. You have to recoup your advance before you ever see any money, so it's not like you can really rely on that as a source of income. Your book, however, can be a great business card. Anyone who sees it thinks there's instant credibility. Anyone who reads it is instantly enrolled in who you are and what you're about. You have raving fans who follow you and will participate in other programs and offerings that you create. So it's a great entry point, but it is not the pillar to build, to solely stand on. If you can build around that and create a beautiful platform for yourself, that includes speaking and consulting and having some sort of a business model that may somehow tie back to the book but isn't solely based on the book, you can definitely be successful, but it's not relying solely on the book for revenue.
I appreciate you sharing that. You know, we host the show and do the show to provide information, insight, and advice for our audience so they can make better business decisions. And hopefully there are at least one, if not more than that, entrepreneurs out there who have this glimmer in their eye about being a published author, and now they've heard from a successful one with, you know, by virtue of your experience, what you now know, and hopefully they can use that to make better decisions about how they plan to market their book moving forward. So thank you.
You are so welcome.
So let's talk about your business. I'd like you to maybe go in a little more detail about what it is you do for clients, and more importantly, or as important, I should say, share with our audience what makes your firm different.
Well, this is such a great conversation because, you know, my company is called Woohoo Inc., and I want to share why it's called Woohoo Inc. When I was writing about breakups, that was a very boohoo state of mind, if you will. So what I realized is in every loss in life, whether it's a death of a loved one, a getting fired or reinventing your career, striking out on your own as an entrepreneur, whatever it is, this journey is both up and down. It's the roller coaster. And when we are only seeking the woohoo, we don't see the full picture. And so I call my company Woohoo Inc. because it reminds me that in those crescendos of stress and challenge and facing my fears, and this is for anyone, as challenging as those times are, there is that silver lining, and if you keep going, you will get to it. So what I do at Woohoo Inc. specifically is I help business owners, mostly small business owners. I do work with some corporate clients because I do love showing them how to implement this as well. We are in a social business frame of mind. It's no longer okay to kind of be in an ivory tower and have a customer support team that handles your interactions with your customers. We really need to be on social media as business owners. We really need to interact with our audience. And if we think about the web, the internet, as the Autobahn, if we think about the speed with which things whiz by us, getting someone to stop and pay attention to you is kind of like defying gravity because of the, you know, we're asking people to slow down. We're asking people to be thoughtful. We're asking people to give their time, their attention, their energy. And so what I do with my clients and my customers is I show them how to stand out with how they're presenting themselves, how they're positioning themselves, how they're languaging what they're talking about, both online and offline, both in their social media strategy as well as with their website copy and their tagline and their moniker and their branding. It's not enough to have a great logo anymore, because sometimes people will never even go to your website. They'll just see what you do on social media. And if you're not on social media, you're really missing out. So I kind of take your brand goals and socialize it so that you come away with a strategy for engagement and conversation. Really what we're doing now is we have conversations we're creating on a daily basis with our customers. And to keep those conversations going and engaging with our audience is essential to the success of our business.
You touched on a number of ideas that I would like to go a little deeper on. And so with your permission, after this first sponsorship break, we're going to come back with Lisa Stedman, and I'm going to ask her to talk a little bit more about the role social media, social networks play for mid-market CEOs, because I'm intrigued by what you said, and I'd like you to explain a little more fully. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. We're speaking with Lisa Stedman today. Before the break, I said I'd ask you to maybe help our audience understand, from your perspective, Lisa, why this social media, social networking, information technology tools are so important for them in finding a voice and finding customers in the marketplace, from your experience, that is.
Well, you know, it used to be, and it's not that we shouldn't still pay for advertising or public relations, depending on the size of our business and the scope of our goals. But the truth is, it's never been more affordable or easier to connect with your ideal customers or clients than it is on social media. Now, number one, there is a lot of noise out there, so you need to know how to stand out. When you master the art of standing out, it is so easy to engage with your audience. And what I love about social media, and this is an important distinction for anyone who is still kind of learning the ropes of social media, is we can't just be a business and be like, here's our new product, here's our new service, love us. We really need to engage with our audience in a more meaningful way. So we're talking about inviting them into our world and including them in our conversations rather than being self-promotional and exclusive. And even for a very high-end brand, it's important to do that. So ultimately, the purpose of social networking and social media is to connect and create consistent engagement with your audience. When someone feels seen, heard, and understood, they are far more likely to not only purchase your products, but even more likely to share you with their audience. I happen to use voice software in my business, and I can't tell you how many sales I've made that company without ever seeing a dime from it, because I am thrilled to share how it's changed my life. We want those kinds of evangelists. The modern era of social business is that your fans are just as important as your paying clients and customers, because whether they pay you or not, they share you, they like you, they appreciate you, they're your evangelist, they help build your network, build your visibility, build your exposure, build your business, and they're so important to your bottom line, whether they pay you a dime or not.
Lisa, I have a view that social media and social networking, at the price points that exist today, give small entrepreneurs, mid-market CEOs, a chance to compete with their larger competitors unlike they've ever been able to compete before, because as you said, you know, traditional media can be expensive, and many times it takes a certain amount of advertising budget to be able to play the game, because you have to be frequent in your, you know, in how you approach it, and that costs, there are direct costs with that don't exist in the world of in social media. And in some ways, I also think, and I want to get your feedback on what I'm saying here, that many times larger companies, it's harder for them, for the CEO or the president, especially of a public company, to maybe have the same type of a voice in the marketplace that a mid-market CEO can have, just because of the inherent constraints that exist around the larger company, both the handlers of that individual, as well as the real caution and, you know, care that they have to put with their kind of public statements they make and kind of their views in the marketplace. So I think it has become the great equalizer in many ways for mid-market CEOs and entrepreneurs to do battle against larger incumbent competitors, because they have more freedom and opportunity to find people who see the world in a similar way that they do. How do you feel about what I just said?
You know, you are rocking my world right now, because that's exactly it. It is the great equalizer. I love how you say that. It used to be that someone had a huge competitive advantage if they had a bigger budget. But now it's not about the budget, because it is free for social media. I mean, you can certainly advertise and there's a cost on social media, but this is about connecting with your audience. When you master that, you are unstoppable, and it doesn't matter who your competition is, because if they are not finessing this piece the way you are, you have just as much of an opportunity to gain market share as anyone else. What I love about that smaller companies are getting more attention, they're getting more noticed, they're getting more fans, and I do agree with you. I will say I had a very cozy relationship with the legal department when I worked at Mattel because of the nature of that company. It was really important to monitor what we shared, and I was writing every day, so you better believe a lot of my stuff was getting edited. And so I totally understand that in terms of like a major corporation that's really trying to control their voice and their message. And I understand there are legalities involved, and I think it's time for us to really come together with those kinds of companies and say, there's got to be a middle ground here, because you are missing out. You are missing the boat if you are not free to communicate in a way that everybody is getting very comfortable communicating now.
I'm glad that you shared your expertise with our audience, and I'm hopeful the people that are listening live to Critical Mass, or maybe are listening to this as a podcast, maybe off of Apple iTunes at some point in the future, begin to see the power inherent in these new technologies that are ubiquitous. You know, early on in the Critical Mass radio program, one of our guests made the assertion that, in his opinion, you could build the same type of deep relationships on a community of online like-minded people as traditionally you could develop face-to-face. And at the time I thought, well, that may be, he was in IT, maybe that's a little bit over the top. But ever since then, I have seen countless examples of him being correct, and how the use of social networking in conjunction with live appearances and in-person events can really accelerate the relationship that you have with your audience. You're a speaker. I know that you're out, you know, making big room presentations and discussions. Have you seen how social networking can help to build a relationship with an audience before you even show up?
That's what's so exciting about it, is I without even meaning to, there's a little bit of, I mean, we are in a culture of celebrity, so I don't take this lightly, but when people meet me in person after having connected with me on social media, and my clients report the same thing, there's kind of this rock star status you have of like, I can't believe I'm meeting you in person. And I actually just got back from having coffee with a woman today who said this to me, and this is something I really work with my clients on. She said, I'm so thrilled that who you are online is exactly the same as who you are in person. She's like, I can't tell you how many people I meet who on social media are one way, you meet them in person, and it just doesn't equate. It's not the same person. It's not the same energy. I wanted that person, not the person who shows up. And it's so important to align all of those pieces.
I think, boy, I'm really enjoying this conversation. I got a whole list of other questions that I still want to ask you here on Critical Mass, but I can't let that go without, because that's kind of one of my foundation beliefs about social media. First of all, I think the BS meter is inherent to the technology. That if you're not transparent and genuine, or if you're using it to try to promote a traditional media, hey, there's a sale today, it's all about me, you know, push interruption marketing, only using the technology of social networking, people shut you down pretty fast. That is not the right way to show up. And if you're not able to show up as and willing to kind of be transparent and be the person that you really are and run the risk that may not resonate with everybody, but it will resonate with the people who are like-minded, I think you're right that it doesn't really build your brand because it's not congruent with who you really are as a person. And I find you need to be yourself and not try to be Seth Godin or someone else by blogging and developing a persona that really you can't maintain.
What I love about this conversation, you're so right on, and it's this idea that we're trying to be like somebody else. We can't be a better version of Seth Godin or you or me. We just can't, and that's the good news. The other thing I love about what we're talking about is the importance of being willing to not be for everybody. When you're socializing your business and you're creating what I call really a rock star social brand, which means you're very on point with your messaging and your positioning, and people, when they experience you, are either a very clear yes, this is for me, I'm interested, or a very clear no, that's really not for me and I could care less. You want to offend some people because that tells us you're magnetizing the right people. I tell all of my clients, do not try to appeal to everybody because you will appeal to nobody. I'm very clear. The woohoo is not for everybody. If you don't like it, if it doesn't speak to you, if it doesn't resonate, I don't take that personally because the clients who do come and get their businesses shifted and changed and rocked, that's who I need to reach. I don't need to reach everybody.
There's a book, Finding Your Why, and in it the author, and I've heard him speak, talks about don't do business with everyone who could use your product. Do business with people who believe what you believe. And he talks very clearly about finding those people that at a higher level connect to your brand and connect to the why and why you do your business, not the how and the what. But just the simple thought, don't sell to everybody you could sell to. Find the people who believe what you believe. And one of the advantages of doing that is, as we've talked about it in our peer groups and the work that we do with our business leaders down here in Orange County, is the realization that you've also now built up a more loyal client base, less likely to defect to a competitor because it's unlikely that that competitor may believe what you believe. They may do what you do and deliver a similar product, but they don't have the worldview that you have. And I think social media and social networking is a powerful way for people to develop a beacon for what they believe in and not be worried that it's not for everyone because, you know, generally speaking, most mid-market and small companies are not mass-market companies. They're finding a niche and driving a very successful and profitable business inside that niche.
Yes, and when they do that really well, they will magnetize the numbers of their loyal fans and reduce the numbers of people who come in and buy a product and feel unsatisfied because they thought it was for them, but it wasn't really for them.
This is great. It's great to have a guest on, ladies and gentlemen, that I put the script aside. But we did talk a bit about some other questions that I want to ask you because you have so much experience and expertise. I don't want to just set on this topic, although, frankly, I think we could continue on it. And maybe we'll do it another time in the future, Lisa.
We could talk about it all day.
Let me shift back to you a little bit. A question that I'd like to ask and have been asking my guests for a couple years now, and that's of all the business experiences and lessons that you've learned in your professional career, have you evolved a guiding principle, kind of an overarching belief system that you're using to lead your firm? And if you have, would you be able to share that with our audience today, your guiding principle?
Absolutely. Anyone who's in business for themselves or the leader of a business, we tend to be pretty connected to our internal compass. Now, again, I'm going to attract and detract people listening to the call tonight because I'm going to share with you what I call mine. Mine is called the woohoo within. It's that internal woohoo that really guides you. It's your gut. It says, go this way, not that way. And a lot of us really are good at tuning in, listening, and taking the action steps every day to get there. Here's an interesting point I find a lot of business owners get to that trips them up: when the woohoo changes directions. So let's say you've been marching to this one drummer and you've been following this path and it's led you in a great direction and you've been successful, or maybe you've been so successful, or maybe you haven't been successful. That's not what's important. What's important is the gut message says change directions because this is where we need to go now. Now that's a point where a lot of people shut down. That's a point where a lot of people start to question themselves and say, really, I can't change directions. I've either been successful or I've put so much time and energy into this one path that I can't possibly shift it, change it, grow it. And so there's a fear that kind of shuts us down. What I always say is, honor those voices inside. Like, pay attention to who's talking. Make sure it's not a saboteur. But if it's genuinely your woohoo within saying, I know we did this, but now it's time to do that, give yourself permission to follow that boldness, because boldness is what helps us stand out. And if we're really concerned about fitting in, we're not going to get where we really want to go. So give yourself permission to pay attention to that gut level that's telling you, I know what's best, even though it sounds scary or different or like a total 180, and understand that that's going to lead you to an even bigger level of success. And I liken that to every comeback story we've ever heard that we loved. Anyone who has fallen and gotten back up and had tremendous success, whether it's a celebrity or an entrepreneur, it's about the getting back up and honoring what the voice inside is saying that's more important than the falling down.
What you said leads me to some follow-up questions, but I'm going to hold off because my producer is letting me know that it's time for our second sponsorship break. But we'll be back, and Lisa Stedman's our guest here on Critical Mass, the radio show. We're going to talk more about a variety of topics, but first, here's a word from a sponsor.
When you use the Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express, the rewards points can keep on multiplying. By 3 with triple points on airfare, by 2 with double points on gas and groceries, and a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms, conditions, and restrictions at axpgold.com.
Business executive, this message is for you. Do you ever feel isolated with no place to turn for advice or feedback? Who holds you accountable to your commitments in your company? Where do you find the right resources to help you and your company grow? If you have these questions, then Critical Mass for Business might be the answer for you. Critical Mass for Business is committed to helping you make better decisions. These are groups of peers running businesses just like you, providing a great sounding board to test ideas and concepts, review plan and goals, and present issues and opportunities for discussion. The result is improved strategy, accountability, people, and execution skills. If you are interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. and learn more about our executive peer group.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. This is Rick Frenzy. My guest today is Lisa Stedman. And Lisa, I guess I'd like to ask you, how do you manage and lead a multifaceted business? You know, we've talked that you're an author and you're a public speaker. You're obviously an expert in the subject matter that we've been talking about. I know that you do coaching and you're a consultant, so you have all these different, one would say you have all these different revenue streams, which is good, but you also have all these different kind of demands on you as a business professional. So share for our audience, for others who may be building a similar model or maybe have evolved to that, sort of kind of your lessons learned and how you're able to successfully kind of keep those different plates spinning.
You know, this is one of the greatest challenges that we as business owners face, is how to keep all those plates spinning. And a big lesson I have learned is delegation, delegation, delegation. Sometimes we're afraid to spend the money on help, whether it's an assistant or a project manager or a website manager or a brand manager. And the truth is we don't have to hire all of those people at the same time. And if you think about what slows you down in the day, what the minutia is that's on your plate, that if you took it off your plate, it would be life-changing. It would be business building. It's really important to honor that. So, for example, when it's time to do a book launch, do you have a publicist? Do you have somebody who's going to help you with that? Even if it's just as basic as you need a part-time assistant or you need to bring in an intern if you can't quite afford to pay someone yet, it really depends on where you are in your business cycle. But giving yourself permission to grow is going to require that you allow yourself to delegate. It's not always easy and it's not always fun, and it can be really scary to let someone into your business and kind of share that you don't have it all figured out. But to be, if your goal is to be a six and seven figure business, which not everybody's goal is, but if that's your goal, you and you alone cannot accomplish that. And I really encourage everybody to get the help and the support they need and delegate what they're not good at so they can really focus on the areas they're excellent at.
We work with our clients, and I try to work with myself as well. You know, I think we do a disservice to employees when we focus a lot on what they don't do well or send them off to a workshop on the areas of a challenge, skills development. I'm of the opinion that we'd be better off spending that money enhancing the things that they already do really, really well, because there you, I think you get a much better return on your investment.
Absolutely. And this is really what it's about is, if, for example, I had an assistant that I was using, and what it came down to was the only thing she was excellent at was research. But I got to be honest, there's not a lot of ROI for me in research, and I really needed an assistant who could manage other pieces of my business, and research wasn't an area that I needed to put a lot of time or energy into. So I had to let her go, because as much as I liked her, as amazing as she was, her job description, the only thing that she really was excellent at was this research piece, and that wasn't giving me any return on my investment.
I have to ask you another question, which just kind of popped into my mind listening to your, to the quality of the tone of your voice and the energy level that you put forth. Whether you're an extrovert or not, I don't know. You, if you're not, you certainly are able to compensate. You have, you're able to fill, right? The I feel your presence, even though we're not in the same studio. You're in your office, and I'm in my studio. Is it your belief? Because I'm wondering if some people might be listening, going, "Well, you know what? I just don't have her chutzpah, personality, whatever it is." And so for me, the things that she's saying that, you know, need to be done, I can't do because I am an introvert, or I'm shy, or I'm something that maybe they perceive you not to be. What has been your experience in working with your clients? And is that a concern that you've ever heard before? Or, you know, can you add anything to my question that I just gave you about if people don't have a similar, perceived similar personality, do they have to have that to be successful in your world? Or what has been your experience?
I hear this a lot. I hear this question almost daily. And no, you don't have to be an extrovert. And no, you don't have to be like me. There are certain things that you do need. Number one is stamina. This is not for the faint of heart. So I liken what I do to be available for what I do and have the energy for what I do. I actually am stepping into the belief that I need to train like an endurance runner. Now, I'm not going to go run because I don't enjoy that, but I'm really paying more attention to what I put in my body. So there's that piece of just simply endurance. That's a fact. To run a business well, having a team and having endurance are going to be great assets. Now, here's the other piece of that. Do you need to be outgoing? I'm outgoing by nature, so that works to my advantage. I have a lot of customers and clients who are not outgoing by nature, and so there are a couple ways to approach that. One is, who can be the face and voice of your business if you're not comfortable being that? Sometimes people leave that to somebody else, whether it's their assistant, their marketing manager, you know, their chief learning officer, or, and this is another thing that I really work with some of my customers on, is well, who do you need to be the face and voice of this company? Do you need to kind of create a persona that you can wrap your head around and own so that it's maybe not you stepping out, but it's a piece of you, a part of you, a persona that you wear like a suit of armor or a costume so that when you're stepping in front of the microphone or doing a photo shoot or being on camera or interacting on a stage, you can own something that maybe you, when you're off camera or off stage, don't necessarily own. I give the great example of, you know, the performer Beyonce, who, when she was first starting out, gave herself an alter ego, and she named her alter ego Sasha Fierce. And I love this example because, you know, in her life, Beyonce is shy, she's quiet, but I've never seen anybody perform the way this woman does. So clearly when she gets on stage, she channels something. And what I appreciate about that example is she gave herself permission to be bigger and bolder than she was comfortable with by creating an alter ego, and she also got to the point in her career where she let the alter ego go because she was now fully comfortable. So if there's some kind of persona you need to put on, or if you want to give it to someone else completely, give yourself those options and find the one that works best for you.
Well, those are great examples, and that helps to kind of cement the point. Many years ago, I went to a leadership development course at an institute in San Diego, Center for Creative Leadership. And one of the takeaways that I got from this 360 that they did for me on my leadership and management style was that I needed to pay more attention to the softer voices within my company. That being in sales and marketing at the time, there was a lot of type A, a lot of energy in that, and that sometimes I gravitated to that, and I missed the really insightful thoughts of someone with a softer voice because they just didn't have the personality to kind of get heard. And
yeah,
for me, that was in the 90s, and that's something that really fundamentally, of all the things that I learned during that time down there, I never forgot that because, and I make that point to people who tend to be maybe not as overt in their mannerisms, that sometimes their thoughts and ideas carry more weight, and they just have to find the right time to be comfortable to present it, and then the audience has to be able to receive it. But it's not always the loudest voices in the room that have the deepest insight.
You know, that's really true, and that's an important point. And if you're in a company where there's lots of players, really pay attention to that. I have a particular client, and she's somebody who doesn't speak up a lot, and she's actually in a business where there are a lot of people in her company, and she doesn't speak up a lot, and every time we're on a conference call and she does speak up, she changes the energy of the call because she's so thoughtful and so insightful and so brilliant. And I appreciate those moments because they're few and far between, and a lot of the other people in her company are much louder and more excitable and engaging and outgoing. But every time she speaks up, she is captivating. And it's important that we do not drown her out during those conversations.
And if she develops, you know, if that was a mid-market CEO, I could very much see a social media, social networking persona around that type of personality, and maybe the tweets and the blogging and the other thoughts that put out there are more in line with that person's worldview and personality type and could still be very, very effective. And so, you know, I agree with you. I don't think you have to be an extrovert to be successful as the front end of the business, but you have to be genuine.
Yes, absolutely. You don't have to become somebody else. Again, it goes back to don't become a B version of somebody you're not, become an A-plus version of yourself.
We're going to come back, and in the final few minutes that we have the pleasure of sharing with Lisa Stedman, I have a question about her opportunity for growth and where she sees her firm going in the future. But before we let her answer that question, we're going to take a sponsorship break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about growing her firm and the future. But first, here's a word from a sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives at fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
If you are a Southern California business owner or executive, this message is for you. For over 17 years, Doug Gefella has been coaching executives, helping them create and improve the effectiveness of teams and individual team members. What makes Doug's approach unique and successful is his fundamental approach. Doug looks at the coaching from the perspective of the client, not the coach. Doug has helped hundreds of companies and led over 1,000 planning meetings that have changed lives and the course of many successful firms throughout Southern California. If you're interested in learning more, go to www.criticalmassforbusiness.com and learn about our executive coaching and team development. Critical Mass for Business is a professional executive coaching and team development company and is the fastest growing business advisory firm in Orange County.
Welcome back to Critical Mass, the radio show. In our final segment, I'd like you, Lisa, to give the audience a sense for how you see the firm changing and growing in the future and what it's going to be like when I have you back here in 3 years and we're talking about the firm as it is currently then.
I love this conversation because I'm always thinking about the future, both for myself and for my clients and even just for my friends and my family. So for me, the Woohoo is going pretty big. We are launching Woohoo Radio and Woohoo TV in the next 6 months. Actually, Woohoo Radio is going to be launching next month. And it's really about reaching a broader audience. I'm very clear that what I'm here to do is work with individuals, small businesses, and even large companies to help them honor that Woohoo within, create their unique brand positioning, and change how they do business, given that we're really in a social business space. So that's a big piece of it. But at the end of the day, if you ask me what my mission was for the world, it's really about giving yourself permission, be who you really are, and if you want to monetize that, build a business around that. If you want that to be about you taking time off and honoring yourself and taking time to be with your family, giving yourself permission to do that. Woohoo Inc. is really, and as the leader of Woohoo Inc., my mission is really here to facilitate other people's personal growth, development, and really claiming what they desire and deserve in their life.
So can you share a little bit more about Woohoo Radio and TV? What's your vision for those?
Well, Woohoo TV specifically is going to be an internet show. I'm a big believer in comeback stories. I love a good comeback story. So I love hearing from people who have triumphed over adversity, who have reinvented at a difficult time, specifically when we think about entertainers who have done it. You know, you think about, like I just saw that, and I haven't watched it in years, honestly, but Desperate Housewives, this is their last season, which, frankly, I didn't even know it was still on. But it's been on for 8 years. And before that, you know, Terry Hatcher admitted that she was a has-been. And even the creator, Mark Cherry, was like, I was living with my mother because I couldn't get a job or pay my bills. Think about the comeback stories and think about the strength that both of those individuals had to weather the difficulties and overcome that and come back strong. So I just love the idea of hearing from people about what inspires them in their deepest, darkest, rock bottom moments to bounce back and create something new for themselves, even when there's a part of them who may think it's a waste of time. So Woohoo TV is going to be interviews with people who are really riding that wave of the Boohoo to Woohoo journey, and they've reinvented, they've been an underdog, and whether they're on top now or they're on their way or they're on their way somewhere else because they're really honoring what their gut's telling them, I want to hear from those people. So that's the goal for Woohoo TV. And then Woohoo Radio is similar. It's got a broader focus. It's really about I want to just share how to have it all without losing yourself. So Woohoo Radio, the title of that show is going to be Woohoo Radio, Love, Life, Business, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Because having it all, if you lose yourself, is nothing.
Oh, yeah, it is nothing. It is interesting to me. Again, years ago, I went to a series of Tony Robbins seminars, and I found it to be the right thing at the time in my life. And one of the key early messages that he delivered that has stayed with me is, it's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to it. Because two people can have the same experience, and the outcomes could be dramatically different, and the only difference is how they respond to the event.
It's very interesting you say that. I'm a big believer in that, and I have a sister, and she's 19 months older, and I know we grew up in the same house, but we are two very different people, and we look at our childhoods and have such different views about it and respond to it differently. You know, my parents taught at international schools, and so we traveled a lot. My sister never wants to travel again. She's so content to stay at home in her condo and be with her animals. And it's so funny because that, for me, was such a gift. I'm so thankful to have traveled the world, and I can't wait to go again. So I'm always plotting and planning these adventures. So it's very interesting how different people respond to different things. And at the end of the day, I love what you said about it's not happening to you. It's actually happening for you. So what are you going to do with that information and that experience?
If someone would like to learn more about you and your firm, how do they find you online?
It's very easy. They can go to lisastedman.com.
Would you spell that?
Yes, it's Lisa, L-I-S-A, Stedman, S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N.com.
The time has flown by. I've really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm serious. I'd like to have you back at some other point to have to get some of the questions that I didn't get a chance to ask you today, and I'm sure there'll be other things that we can discuss if you're open to coming back to a Critical Mass radio show at some point.
I would love that, and I welcome that. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's been fun. Thank you, Lisa Stedman. Have a good day.
You too.
Well, hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, as you've listened either live here or at some point as a podcast in the future, this conversation gave you some ideas, thoughts, advice, and insight that you can apply to your business. And the goal for the show here at Critical Mass is to help you make better, more informed decisions. This is Rick Franzi, host of Critical Mass, the radio show, saying until the next time we talk, I hope all your decisions move your business in a positive direction.
You've been listening to Critical Mass, the radio show, only on OCTalkRadio.net.